Fantastic. Anne Waller is now going to come and read to us from God's word this morning.
The reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. A teacher of the law came up and tried to trap Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "What do the scriptures say? How do you interpret them?" The man answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you love yourself." "You were right," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But the teacher of the law wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus answered, "There was once a man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when robbers attacked him, stripped him, and beat him up, leaving him half dead. It so happened that a priest was going down that same road, but when he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite also came along, went over, and looked at the man, and then walked on by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was traveling that way came upon the man, and when he saw him, his heart was filled with pity. He went over to him, poured oil and wine on his wounds and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own animal and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Take care of him,' he told the innkeeper, 'and when I come back this way, I will pay you whatever else you spend on him.'" And Jesus concluded, "In your opinion, which one of these 3 acted like a neighbor towards the man attacked by the robbers?" The teacher of the law answered him, "The one who was kind to him." And Jesus replied, "You go then and do the same." And the second reading is Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. "Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of your word to us this morning. And we pray that by your Spirit, you will challenge us and you will inspire us. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds and help us to be ready to receive your word to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I once heard about a group of theological students who were due to sit an exam after studying a whole session on the mission and the ministry of Jesus. They waited in their classroom in that really daunting moment when you're counting down the minutes before the exam is about to take place, when suddenly there was a commotion and in ran a college official who said, "There's been a mix-up. Yes, you have got an exam today, and it is on the mission and ministry of Jesus, but it isn't here. The exam starts at the time you thought it did, in a few minutes, but the exam is taking place in a different college, the other side of town." You can imagine the horror on the faces of those students. And quickly, they packed up their things, they packed up their bags, they ran out the classroom, down the corridor, and as they went, each student was thinking in their minds, "How am I going to get across town? How am I going to get there?" They knew that there was a bus stop right outside college, and if they could get a bus, that would take them directly across town. That would be perfect. But buses only ran every half an hour. If they couldn't get a bus, they knew they could probably get a taxi. The problem was, well, there were 2 problems, really. They were students, and taxis were expensive, and there's never a taxi around when you need one. The other option was they could run, but they knew if they ran across town, it was likely to take them getting on for 30 minutes. So that would mean losing probably half of their exam time. As the first few students ran out of college, there was a huge set of steps to encounter, and they began running down these steps, and they could see the bus coming round the corner to the bus stop. So they hurtled down these steps. "Look out," one of the students shouted, as they swerved to narrowly avoid a lady who was sitting at the bottom of the steps with her head in her hands, no idea of what was happening around her. One of the guys did nearly trip over her, but he managed to recover, and this first group of students ran across the road and jumped onto this bus. The next group of students hit the top of the steps just as the bus was pulling away from the bus stop. One of them said, "Quick, let's get a cab." So they decided that as there was no cabs to be found, they'd run round the corner to where the railway station was, because there's usually a group of taxis there. So they got round the corner, and just as they got round the corner, one of the girls looked up as this guy said to her, "Excuse me." She looked across at him, and he said, "Can you help me, please?" And the word "please" was drowned out as one of the guys with her yelled out, "Taxi!" and put his hand out as this cab was approaching. These students quickly jumped into this cab and began their race across town. The final lot of students decided they were going to take a chance and run. And they ran through the streets, doing everything they could to avoid large groups of people. They got almost outside the college, and there was this huge commotion going on in front of them. And they managed to run across the road and avoid the crowd and get in. Now, meanwhile, as they arrived at the room, the examiner was sitting there, making a note of what time each student arrived. Those that had got the bus did arrive there first, only a few minutes before those that had got the taxi, and they'd lost kind of 15, 20 minutes of their exam. Those that ran had lost about half an hour of their time, but worse still, they were out of breath and exhausted and then had to sit down and try and settle. They did their best to focus, each one of the students, doing everything they could to write their essays. And then the examiner said, "3 minutes left." And just as he said that, the door burst open and the last three students ran in. And the examiner looked at them and said, "You're too late. You can't take your exam. Where have you been? Everyone else has been here." And he called them to the front and they whispered what had happened. And then he said, "Put your pens down. The exam's over." Does that bring back that horrible feeling of exams when you hear those words? And he went round and he collected up the papers and he asked the students to stay sitting there. And then he looked at the class and he said, "After weeks of learning, I'm sorry to say you failed." And he ripped in two their exam papers. "You failed," he said, "with the exception of you three." And he went on to explain that after spending weeks teaching them about the mission and ministry of Jesus, and particularly emphasising the parables of Jesus, he'd set them an exam like no other exam. He had arranged for them to travel across town, and he had set up from a different college some of the local drama students to be dotted around the town as people in need. And he said to these students, "Sadly, most of you students were too busy to stop and help. You had too much going on in your own mind to actually take the time to see what those people wanted. But three of you did stop. Three of you stopped, and as a result, you missed your exam. But the actions that you took have shown me that actually you truly do understand the ministry and the mission of Jesus, because you were there to meet the needs of those people." Jesus said, "Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them." This morning we continue our series on the Beatitudes. And we're going to take just a few moments to reflect on what it means to be merciful to others as we try and follow Jesus. This phrase, being merciful, is really quite difficult to define. In fact, there are a number of words in English which each have an element of what the word mercy or merciful means. And really, to understand it, to grasp it completely, we have to put all of these different elements together. To be merciful is to have compassion, to be kind-hearted. It's to take pity, to have sympathy. It's to show forgiveness, to be considerate, to be gracious. And so our main text this morning is that one line from Jesus. In fact, it's just 14 words. And yet, that word, merciful, says so much more than these few words really suggest. Being merciful wasn't just a suggestion from Jesus, wasn't a good idea of a kind of attitude that we could have as his followers. Being merciful was at the heart of Jesus' ministry. Time and time again, if you study the life of Jesus, you will see he's demonstrated mercy. And frequently, his teaching brings out one of these aspects of what it means to show mercy. And so although this morning we really are only focusing on 14 words, it is quite a vast topic that we're looking at. And so I just want to focus on three different aspects of what it means to be merciful. The first idea is this idea about showing compassion to others. Later on in Matthew's Gospel, he tells us of the time when Jesus fed 5,000 people. Now, when we think about Jesus' miracle feeding 5,000, usually we think about what actually happened in those events. But in actual fact, I think the time leading up to that miracle is really very significant. Jesus had just heard that his cousin John had been executed. And so he withdrew to be on his own in a boat. But while he was out on the lake in the boat, the crowds followed him round the other side. And Matthew tells us that when he went ashore and he saw the great crowd, Jesus had compassion on them. And then he healed their sick. And it was this very same crowd that Jesus went on to feed with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Showing compassion often means being there for other people to meet their needs. Showing compassion isn't so much a feeling, like feeling sorry for somebody. It's more likely to be an action. So often Jesus saw the needs of other people, and he didn't just think, oh, that's a shame. He reached out to them and he ministered to them. But showing compassion can actually be quite costly. Having heard that his cousin had been killed, it makes sense Jesus would want to take time out to be on his own. That's a natural reaction. Surely the last thing that he wanted was to be greeted by a group of needy people. And yet Jesus had compassion on them. And in reality, there are times for us, I'm sure, when there are all kinds of things going on in our lives. And in the midst of all those things, the last thing we feel like is to be there for somebody else. Perhaps we're so caught up in our own world, we don't even notice the needs of those around us. A bit like the students from the Bible college. They had one thing on their mind, passing that exam. And in their mind, that exam took place in a particular way. And so they were just too busy and too focused on something else to stop. But as Jesus pointed out at the end of the parable of the Good Samaritan, the one who was the neighbour was the one who showed mercy. Happy are those who show mercy, Jesus said. It sounds ideal, but in reality, we all know it's easier said than done. That person in need, like in the story of the Good Samaritan, may well be someone we don't get along with. That person might be someone we don't even know. And having compassion and choosing to help might be completely inconvenient to us at that moment. What Jesus was trying to do was to help his followers to understand what it means to live by his values in his kingdom. And that kind of life is actually a very different lifestyle to the one we see around us every day, because it's the opposite of being self-centred. And so often in our culture today, everything is focused is on me, what I want, as long as I'm happy. Yet Jesus' lifestyle is a lifestyle that values and cares for other people, and it makes God's priorities higher than our own agendas. And as nice as that sounds, it's hard to do. I was greatly saddened this week to hear the tragic story of that little girl in China who was knocked down by a van. You may have seen this story on the news or on the internet. Yu Yu was just 2 years old, and she wandered onto a busy road and she got hit by a vehicle. That's tragic. But what is even more alarming is that the news reported that at least 18 people walked past her after she'd been knocked over, and they ignored her. And they left her as a two-year-old in the middle of the road, where then a second vehicle ran over her again. Now, eventually, a woman did stop, and she dragged this little girl to the side of the road, and then her mother found her. And sadly, that little girl died a few days later in hospital. And as this story has spread around the world, questions have been asked as to how such a thing could have happened. The first thing was a tragic accident. But 18 people walking past her and no one stopping to help. One report has actually said that many people in China are hesitant to help people who appear to be in distress because they're frightened that they'll be blamed. This is what one line said in one newspaper. It said, high-profile lawsuits have ended with Good Samaritans, was the phrase the newspaper used, Good Samaritans being ordered to pay hefty fines to individuals that they actually sought to help. And meanwhile, another report was asking for changes to be made in the law so that it would actually encourage people to stop and help. It's hard to believe in our world today that people can be that reluctant to help somebody, isn't it? That's not the sort of thing that we expect to read in this day and age, especially to someone as helpless as a two-year-old child. And I'd like to think that would never happen here. But in reality, I know that there are times in my life, and I'm sure for all of us, when we've been challenged because we've just been too busy to help somebody that we've seen in need. We've pretended not to notice, or we've pretended to have something that's more urgent. And maybe that need wasn't quite as desperate as that little girl's, but it's still a need. Being merciful and showing compassion is a costly act, but it's a characteristic that Jesus not only commands, but he demonstrates through every aspect of his life. Being merciful, showing mercy, it's about the actions that we do to others. But another element, I think, is about the attitudes that we develop that are more concerned with choosing not to behave in a certain way. Jesus gave these instructions, the Beatitudes, and then went on to develop these themes in the Sermon on the Mount. And particularly this idea of being merciful, he developed in a lot of different ways. Jesus spoke about revenge. He said, I tell you, do not take revenge on someone who wrongs you. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, let him slap your left cheek too. He spoke about how to react to enemies, saying, now I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And then later on, Matthew tells us in a response to a question from one of his disciples, Jesus spoke about forgiveness, saying, you shouldn't only be prepared to forgive someone seven times, but 70 times seven. These ideas of choosing not to react in a certain way, well, that's pretty much a sermon in itself, if not a whole series of sermons. This morning, we're really only going to touch the surface of this idea. But that's because this concept of showing mercy to others is so deeply rooted in the teaching of Jesus and in the lifestyle that he modelled. Being merciful has this double-sided element to it, of both choosing to do something for someone in need and then choosing not to do something where we feel like somebody deserves something. And this concept is the opposite of the culture that Jesus lived in at that time, and I think it's very much the opposite of our culture today as well. When someone has wronged us, something inside wants us to be able to get back at them and get even. But Jesus says we shouldn't take revenge. More than that, we should actually love and pray for those who have hurt us. And we should choose to forgive them for the wrong that they've done. That doesn't mean to say we become like little doormats and anyone can do what they like. And it never justifies the wrong that's happened. And when I hear passages like this today, it reminds me how wrong people are when they say Christianity is for weak people and for wimps. Have you ever heard people say that? Because these kind of reactions are tough. You have to be very determined. You have to have real strength of character to choose to act in these ways. But the good news is that in my experience, when we make those choices and we ask for God's help, day by day, he gives us the strength to help us to live out our lives in that way. Showing mercy is about showing compassion. It's about choosing not to take revenge and choosing to offer forgiveness. And when we act in these ways, what we're doing is not just following what Jesus told us to do. We're following his example of how he lived. In not actually giving others the penalty they deserve, but instead offering them forgiveness and showing them love, what we're doing is exactly what God has done for every one of us. And that's why this verse has this slightly unexpected twist to it at the end. Jesus said, "Happy are those who are merciful to others. God will be merciful to them." Now, that's not saying that we can earn God's mercy, that we can work hard and gain his forgiveness. It's not like God sits there keeping a little tally or a tick list to see how many times we've shown compassion, how many times we've let someone off the hook so that he can do the same to us. It's a reminder of the fact that every one of us are in need of God's mercy because we're not perfect ourselves. And it's actually as we come to him in humility and we recognise our own need that we're then reminded that, like us, other people aren't perfect too. And just as God shows mercy to us, so we need to show mercy to others. Now, this is often an idea I think we don't feel very comfortable with. We don't like to be reminded of our own need of God. Particularly in our society, we like to be independent. We like to be self-sufficient. We like to be in control. And yet it's often as we come to a deeper understanding of what God has done for us in our own lives that we then are able to show others the compassion and the forgiveness that we ourselves have received. The fact is, as it says in Romans, that God demonstrated his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And what Jesus did for us as he died on the cross, that's the reason that we're saved today. And Jesus is the reason why we should have mercy on others. In a few moments, we'll be remembering all that Jesus did for us as we share bread and wine together. But now I'd just like us to pause for a few moments' silence and allow time for you to make your own personal response in the silence to God. Loving God, we thank you that while we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. And as we recognise our own need of mercy and compassion from you, please help us also to be people who show mercy to those around us. In Jesus' name, Amen.